Good morning, everyone. Hello, especially if you're watching online. It's great to have you join us. And if you're sick and unwell or in isolation, we are praying for you. And we are with you you're with us in spirit today. Where you are shapes what you seek. Where you are, your location shapes what you seek. You know, what you strive for, what you're aiming for is shaped by where you are. And so this week, to get a sample, I messaged some people to see what they were seeking depending on their location. So I messaged some people who are at home during the week, and someone said, "What I'm seeking, I'm aiming to complete some housework, chat to some people, and taxi everyone to where they need to be on time." That's a worthy thing to seek. I texted on a twist on that, people at home but in isolation, and someone who's kind of on the tail end of being sick said, "I'm striving for simply guilt-free relaxation before heading back to work next week." That's what they were seeking at home. Texted some people at work and asked them. Someone said, "What I'm aiming for is to engage everyone in a goal and get them to want to do the tasks to see the goal achieved." That's fair for if you're at work. Someone else said, "I want to set up systems that play to my strengths and help me actually enjoy the tasks I need to do." That's a good thing at work. And someone in hospital said, "I'm seeking to convince the doctors that I can go home soon." All good things that we are to seek, but see, they're different depending on our location, on where we are, because where you are shapes what you seek. And it's important because if we mix things up, things will go badly. So if you're at work, but you're seeking to have guilt-free relaxation, then that would be a problem. I'm not sure that the boss would be too happy with that. And so what we seek needs to fit with where we are. And so as Christians, as we have a look at God's word today, what we've read raises three questions for us. As we seek to go onward in Christ, the question raises for us, where are we? What should we seek? And what does that look like? Where are we? What should we seek? And where? And what does that look like? That's where we're heading today. Firstly, where are we? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? We are here at All Saints Church, or we're at home watching. But are you really here? Well, please make sure you've got Colossians 3 opened up, and let's have a look. Because it says there, verse 1, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." So actually it says here, if you're Christian, you have been raised with Christ. Your location is where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Helen read for us from Psalm 110 that God has put Christ at his right hand. The resurrected Christ has been put in the position of power in the heavenly realm, and this passage is saying that's where we are, because we have been raised with Christ. But how are we there? How have we been raised with Christ? Because we're still here, surely. Is this kind of Matrix Keanu Reeves thing where we think we're one place, but actually we're somewhere else? Being there and here would be a problem if, as the secularists say, all there is flesh and blood, if that's all there was. But if there are spiritual realities, then it can work. So let's see how it works. Let's see how we got there in the first place. Because it says also, have a look at verse 3, "For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." All right, lots going on there. Let's see if we can understand it. So firstly, we've got Jesus I'm not sure if he wore green, but that's what he got today. Jesus nailed to the cross, of course, and physically died. That's a historical fact. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. Let's keep going with Jesus. But then God, of course, physically raised him in victory over sin to rule the world with God the Father. That's what we've seen in Colossians so far, hasn't it? But what we're told in Colossians is that we are with Christ. One of the big truths that comes out of the book of Colossians is that our identity is wrapped up in his. And so we are united to Christ spiritually. And so if that's you, if your trust is in Jesus, if you're united to him, then here's what Colossians says about you. So when Christ died, then we died spiritually with him. That lighter guy is our spiritual self. We died in Christ. Spiritually, even though we're still here on earth. And then when Christ was raised, we too were raised spiritually. You might have heard this in last week's passage, back to chapter 2, which says, your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. That's when we died with Christ. In which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. See how what happened to Jesus has happened to us spiritually because we are united with him. And so while we are physically here in North Epping, or wherever you are at home, spiritually we are raised with Christ. Our true location is now hidden with Christ in God. But in the future, as it says, when Christ returns, we will also appear with him in glory. And so where are we? Of course, we're here physically. But spiritually, we are raised with Christ. And that's the location that counts. Which is wonderful news this morning, because no matter what your life is like for you here, whether you're a thumbs up or a thumbs down, or of course we think of the poor believers in the Ukraine, all that they're going through, no matter what life is like here, you are raised with Christ. We are in the presence of Christ in the heavenly realm, and one day we'll appear with him in glory. So that's where we are. But if that's where we are, then what should we seek? You know, we've heard what people seek when they're at home or at work or at uni. What about people who are raised with Christ? What should they seek? Well, let's have a look again at our passage. Verse 1 says, set your hearts on things above. Or verse 2, set your minds on things above. So if we've been raised with Christ, this is what we're to do. This is what we're to seek. We are to totally orient ourselves towards our heavenly reality. In our hearts and minds should always be focused on our spiritual location. And so we're to strive. We're to set our hearts on our lives matching up with the spiritual reality that we are united with Christ at the right hand of God. Because remember, if we've been united with Christ, friends, you have been completely forgiven for all the wrong that you've done. You are completely safe, that nothing will harm you for eternity in glory. You have complete certainty. Our future with God is guaranteed. We have an eternity of love and joy. Is that where our hearts lie? Is that what occupies your thoughts? Let me tell you about a time when I was not seeking the things above. In my 20s, there was a show called Ugly Betty. Did anyone remember that? It was, yeah, okay, a couple of... It wasn't a great show. It was about this ugly duckling who went to work in high fashion land in New York. And when this was on, I just got back from a holiday with Katie, and we spent a couple of nights in New York. And then I was watching this show that's kind of, you know, all about working in corporate New York. You know, modern equivalent show might be, you know, Suits or Succession or something like that. And my heart started to seek that high flyer lifestyle with all the wealth and power and greed that goes with it. Greed gets a mention later in our passage, doesn't it? I used to dream of what would it be like if I, you know, gave up school teaching, which I was doing at the time, and used my commerce degree to become one of those high flyers. But then in the end, I decided to stop watching the show. Partly it was pretty terrible, but mostly because it led me to seeking the wrong thing. I wasn't seeking the things above. I was seeking earthly wealth and glory. I wasn't seeking what would make Christ's name great, but what would make my name great. If I've been raised with Christ, it's his priorities I need to seek. Now, I'm not saying you can't have Christ's priorities if you're in the high end of town. I know many faithful Christians who are there. But for me, if I went down that road, it would be because I was seeking earthly things. And so does that mean, you know, when we're at work, we shouldn't be seeking effective systems? Or if we're at home, we shouldn't be trying to get all the things we need to get done? You know, in verse 2 it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Hang on, what's going on there? Does that mean we shouldn't think about anything here on earth? Well, no. At home it's worthy to get the things done so your house is in order and your family's organised. At work it's a great benefit if you focus on motivating your team. For example, in Colossians we'll see later on how you can honour Christ in your work. So, and the way that works is the earthly things that are mentioned have a particular meaning. It doesn't mean just think about anything on earth, but it has a particular meaning, which we'll look at in just a minute. But we still need to think through, okay, how do we navigate? How do we navigate what we need to focus on at home or at work or wherever we are, as well as focus on our spiritual reality? Well, let's see. What does it look like? What does it look like to set our hearts on the things above? Well, we're changing metaphors once again. It all depends on what you're wearing. The Bible uses a clothing, a wardrobe analogy here. Bit of a fashion. There's a fashion theme that runs all the way through, actually, today. We'll see. Let's get this right. Where you are determines what you wear. It's much harder to say than on the page here. Where you are determines what you wear. The Formula One season starts tonight. First race is tonight. And when the drivers are on the racetrack, this is what they wear. This is what they wear. But when they're in the Vanity Fair studios, apparently they wear this, or this, or even this. I kid you not, they are real Formula One drivers in real photos, in real fashion apparently. So, but on race day, they put those clothes off and they put on their racing gear. So where they are depends what they wear. For the Colossians, who have decided to follow Jesus and become Christians, what do they put off? What clothing do they put off? Spiritual clothing do they put on? And what do they put on? Well, it's not just clothes, obviously. But Colossians says it's a whole new self that they're to put off and put on. Have a look quickly at verse 9. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. It's as if they're completely new when they're turning to Christ. They've taken off their old self and which is self-focused, self-centered, and they've put on the new self, which is being transformed to be like God himself. That's not saying you're a different, like you're still you. You're still you. But you have a different focus. You have a different power in you working to make you more like Christ. And so since we have a new location, raised with Christ, and since we're putting on a new self that's being renewed to be like Christ, then we are to set our hearts and minds on things above so that we desire and strive for a heart and mind that is like Jesus's. And so it says in last week's passage again, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Christ is how you begin the Christian faith, by putting your trust in him, receiving him as Lord. And Christ is how you continue in the faith. And so part of Jesus being our Lord, if he is King over us, then we are transformed by him into his own likeness, his own perfect, other person-centered character. That's where we're heading. And in our Bible reading today, we hear what that looks like. It's putting to death some practices and clothing yourself with other practices that are like Christ's. And so next week, we'll go deep into what we are to put on. But for today, we're just going to focus on what we put off, those first few verses. So come with me to verse 5 and see what it says there. So verse 5, put to death, therefore. Ooh, let's just stop there for a minute. That's pretty harsh. I don't know if you've killed anything recently. Notice I didn't say anyone. I've put to death something recently. With all the rain, we've had lots of ants come into our kitchen. And, you know, when there's a big swarm of ants on our floor eating a food scrap or something, you know, I get a wet paper towel and squish them. I don't particularly enjoy it, but ants don't belong in a kitchen. Well, certain things don't belong to someone who has been raised with Christ, to someone who's being renewed to be like Christ. And sometimes we need major surgery to remove them from our lives. And so we're to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature. We're to see these two verses here. We're to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to our earthly nature. That's the same phrase in the original language as set your minds on things above, not earthly things. So when it says not earthly things, it doesn't mean anything earthly. It just means these things, the things belonging to our earthly nature. So in order to obey verse 2, let's have a look at verse 5 and see what we should not seek if we've been raised with Christ. All right, let's keep going. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. All right, that's a lot to take in. Let's pause there. We'll keep going in a second. Wow. The first three are about sex. You know, with that list there, you might be forgiven to thinking that God thinks badly about sex. But as you read the Bible, it's actually the opposite. It's because God thinks so highly of sex that he invented it after all, that he is so specific on how we are to use it to honour him. You know, God designed sex to be used to bond together a man and a woman who have committed their lives to each other in marriage. When you get married, you promise to be together for life. And sex physically and chemically and emotionally bonds you together to help you keep that promise. That's what sex is for, to strengthen a marriage promise. And of course, it's designed to produce offspring in that marriage. And just because God is kind, he made it pleasurable too. But therefore, because that's the particular design or purpose that God has given, any use of sex outside that design, we're to put to death. Because if we are outside that design, we're saying to God, look, I know better than you when it comes to sex. And as we act that out, it's bad for us, it's bad for the other person, it's not how we're designed. And so, if you're single or single again, you're to put to death any sexual activity with someone else. If you're married, you're to put to death any sexual activity with anyone who's not your spouse. Or you're to put to death any sexual activity which is abusive to your spouse. That's not sex as God intended either. It doesn't bond you together. And we're not to lust after someone. Put that to death, whether it's someone you know or a person on a screen with pornography. We're to put that to death. Because all of that goes against the wonderful gift of sex for a marriage. It's not part of our new nature in Christ. I'll say more. Now, let me pause to say, look, with all the things on the list that we're going to cover, there is, of course, complete forgiveness in Christ. Nothing is beyond his forgiveness. And so that's why we come together and confess our sins before God, so that we may remember that the cross has taken away our sin. But as we go onward in Christ, you're to put these things against Christ to death. All right, let's go a bit more quickly. Back to the list in verse 5. Evil desires is the desire to do something sinful. So common in all of us. Let's put those to death. And then there's greed, always wanting to be in a better financial position or not willing to be generous. It says here it's idolatry. It's worshipping another god. To be greedy, to the greedy, wealth can be an alternate god as we turn away from the God who provides everything for us and we seek to gain extra wealth and hold on to it only for ourselves. And so lusting for wealth or lusting for immoral sex is, they're things that we should not be seeking. They're not fitting for those who belong, who have been raised with Christ. And in our world, you know, verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. God is angry against these things, not because he is a downer for us, but because they're an act of rebellion against God. All right, let's keep going. Remember, next week we'll have all the things that we're to put on, be a bit lighter. But let's keep going. Verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these. So what do we do? Rid ourselves if we're raised with Christ? What's it say? Anger. Rage. Maybe when your team member didn't deliver on his or her task, or when your kids choose not to listen for the umpteenth time. Put anger to death. What's next? Malice. Slander. Have you blackened anyone's name when you've talked about them to someone else? Who's come off looking bad because of what you've said about them? Or filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. All these things belong to your old self, not to someone raised with Christ. All right, so there's a big list of what we are to put to death if we've been raised with Christ. But I realise as, in reflecting on all that's here, maybe you're feeling one of two things at the moment. Maybe you're feeling the weight of guilt on you. Maybe you know that you haven't done all that. You know what Jesus has done for you, but there are still things here that you just haven't been able to put to death. And so the guilt is on you. Well, friends, if that's you, remember, you have been raised with Christ. And that's only possible. You're only fit to be with Christ if all your sin has been forgiven, if it's all been put aside. And so if you're in this place where you know that you've done the wrong thing, then mourn your sin, repent from it, and then seek God's forgiveness again. There's no need to have the weight of guilt on you if you've been raised with Christ. Others of you might be thinking, okay, well, this list or this call to put things to death, well, it's motivating me, thinking, okay, here's what I need to put to death in my life. I'm going to work really hard to do it. Well, if that's you, if you're self-motivated to change, how will that actually happen? Because if you just have an attitude of, I'm just going to focus on putting this to death. I can do this myself. Well, then you're just going to fail in putting sin to death, just like you did the last time. So what is it? What's going to help us? What's going to help us? Well, I think the first few verses helps us. We're to start with your heart and mind. Before you think about what actions you'll change, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. Seek the rule of Christ. Work out what your heart is set on, what your mind thinks on. And if that needs to change, then ask God to change your heart and mind so that you'll seek the things above. That's why I'm so encouraged that you're all here or that you're watching at home, because that will help you. If you're coming together at church or reading your Bible, that will help you see the heavenly realities that we have in Christ. And if your heart and minds are focused on there, that's what makes it easier to put sin to death. So how do we manage what we seek at home or at work while seeking the things above? Well, last thought. When it says, don't set your mind on earthly things, again, it's not saying don't seek good work or a tidy house. It says, don't set your mind on the things like lust or greed or slander. And so as we focus on our work, as we focus on our home life, as we focus on our relationships, in that, set our minds on things above. Because then we can operate at home or at work with that heavenly perspective. We can grow to be more like Jesus wherever we are. And you know what's really encouraging? This came through in some of the messages I received. I listened to this one who said, you know, what are you striving for at work? Well, I'm aiming to know for myself that my work doesn't define me or give me value. What a great thing. Their heart is set on things above. They're working hard here, but they've got a heavenly perspective. Or at home, I'm striving to be kind towards others when I'm feeling tired. There's someone deep in the realities of life, but has set their hearts on things above and says trying to be kind. Or another one, I'm currently striving for rest, trying to be helpful and seeking regular routine with God. Praise the Lord when we remember to seek the things above, becoming more like Jesus, and may we do so more and more, whatever we do and wherever we are this week. Amen. Well, to help us set our hearts and minds on things above, let us pray in our next song. We're going to pray that God is our vision. We pray that God is our vision so that we may see our heavenly realities in Christ.